It's always good to be here. Bible Baptist Church, we always make us feel so welcome. We appreciate it so much and your support of us. And as Brother Jim mentioned, helping us in this recent furlough with our rent, we appreciate that so much. Such giving hearts you have. I want to turn your attention to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, if you'll turn there. Very important question that the Lord Jesus asked. Back in our first term, back in 1998, 1999, I was taking English Khmer classes there in Cambodia and trying to get the language down. And I met another missionary couple there. We're still friends with them. And they were talking about their challenges with the language and trying to reach people with the gospel. The word for Jesus, we say Yesu there in Cambodian. And it's a little confusing with some people because the word for grandmother in Khmer is Ye. And so this missionary friend was telling me, he says, yeah, whenever we talk about Yesu, the Cambodians ask us, who is Grandmother Sue? Who is this person you're talking about? So many people have not heard the name of Jesus Christ. Millions that still don't know who he is. And in Matthew chapter 16, the Lord Jesus asked this question of his disciples. They'd traveled far up to Caesarea Philippi, away from the crowds of Jerusalem and Judea, and there along the way he talks with them. Luke and Mark also record this particular incident, and Jesus is praying in one record, and then the disciples come to them. We'll start reading at verse 13 all the way down to verse 17. And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity of being able to open your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, there's so much misunderstanding, so many people who don't know who Jesus is. We ask, Lord, that you'd open our hearts. Use your servant today, Father. Speak to hearts today. Challenge us, especially, Lord, during this Missions Emphasis Month. Lord, we ask in your name. Amen. This is about 2 years into his ministry. The Lord Jesus has traveled around. Of course, his disciples have traveled around. They've met rejection. And of course, now the Lord knows that his disciples that have not always traveled with him, of course, would have heard different things about him. And so he knows that they'd be able to share some inside information from their dealings with the regular people there in Israel. So they accurately report what they've heard. And they mention these three men and then another office of a prophet. All, of course, are well known. But the problem is they're all dead. And this would not be unusual for a lot of Jews at that time. Scholars tell us that a lot of people there believed in transmigration of souls, where they believe that the soul of a dead prophet or a teacher could reincarnate into the one of another living person. So for them, the fact that John the Baptist or Elijah or these people were already dead really wasn't a problem. But this morning I want to look at their answers and examine them with other scriptures and to see how these people responded, who is Jesus? Then I want to describe some of the answers that we get from society today. And then, of course, we'll get to the answer that Peter gives. So the first one they say is John the Baptist. According to the Lord Jesus, among those that were born among men, there was not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. He was the voice crying in the wilderness, the forerunner of Jesus. He called for repentance and righteousness from Israel to prepare the way of the Lord. John was controversial and confrontational. And of course, scriptures tells us that Herod Antipas had John beheaded because John was so forthright in his preaching and about his Herod's adulterous affair with his brother's wife. And because of that, Herod had him beheaded. And of course, later when Jesus begins his ministry, Herod sees this prophet coming, this man coming, and he's convinced that Jesus is John the Baptist come from the dead. In Mark 6, it's written, "And King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad, and he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in them. Others said, this is Elias. Others said, this is a prophet, or one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, it is John, whom I have beheaded. He's risen from the dead." So this was a popular misconception that Jesus was John the Baptist, and Herod believed him to be a reincarnation of John, perhaps to come and get vengeance on him or to haunt him. So this comparison is understandable. Jesus also preached righteousness. He preached repentance. He boldly confronted the Pharisees and the Sadducees about their sin and their hypocrisy, and Jesus pronounced woes on the Jewish leaders of that time who had rejected him and the way of righteousness they rejected. But despite these similarities, of course, John was very upfront. He said, "No, I'm not him." Jesus was certainly not John the Baptist. But they say others. Who else? Well, some people think you're Elias, Elijah. And of course, Elijah, the great prophet that preached in the Old Testament during the apostasy of King Ahab's reign over the northern kingdom. There, Israel was turning to Baal, and very few people were serving the Lord. And many of the Jews, of course, also expected Elijah to reappear in the last days, according to Malachi, who said, of course, the last book of the Old Testament, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." So their idea that Jesus was Elijah had some basis in Scripture. Elijah also did many miracles. He had the power during that time, remember, according to his word, there was no rain for 3.5 years. He had that power. He had the power to pray. He was able to feed the widows, the widow there at that time who was completely out of food. And then her son died. Of course, you remember Elijah raised him back from the dead. He called down fire on Mount Carmel and then later killed some soldiers that were coming from King Ahab, King Azariah. And then he destroyed those guys that called down fire on these people that were trying to arrest him. And of course, Jesus was able to do miracles. He had all authority over nature, over the sea, over disease. He was able to cast out demons. He also raised from the dead. And so his power to do miracles was another similarity that was shared with Elijah. But Jesus was not Elijah. There's another example that shows that Jesus' purpose was not the same as Elijah, even though his own disciples thought that there was some similarities. Turn, if you would, keep your finger there in Matthew, but let's turn to Luke chapter 9 real quick. Interesting incident that happens as they're traveling. Luke chapter 9. Jesus and the disciples are traveling through Samaria. And Jesus knows already that already people have rejected him. He knows he's going to be going to the cross. His face, verse 53 says, "And they did not receive him as they went through Samaria, because his face was though he would go to Jerusalem." Verse 54, "And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." So even though there were similarities with Elijah, he had all power. Jesus had all power. He could do anything. But he was not like Elijah in that way. And he told them, you know, I'm not here to just show off. I'm not here to destroy men's lives, but I've come to save them. And he wanted also to give credit to the one who sent him and to show that he had power to save men's souls. So he was not Elijah. But others continue. The disciples report what they've heard. Some say, others, that you are Jeremias. Now, remember, Jeremiah was the great prophet that preached during and just prior to the Babylonian captivity, Nebuchadnezzar comes into the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom had already been taken into captivity and dispersed. Jeremiah was called by God at an early age and commanded to stay single all of his life. Of course, he was known as the weeping prophet. He proclaimed the message of Jehovah to an unrepentant Judah and got little results. He was beaten, shut up in prison, lamented the destruction of Jerusalem. Jesus, too, very young, single, alone, faced rejection, hardship, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He had compassion on the multitudes. His heart would groan and break for people in their lost condition. He saw people as they were scattered abroad, as having sheep, as having no shepherd. Later in his ministry, of course, he would weep over one man's tomb and over an entire city of Jerusalem. No wonder people thought that he was Jeremiah, but he was not. And again, they say, well, maybe just one of the prophets. And again, of course, the disciples are just reporting what they've heard. And they thought that one of the Old Testament prophets, maybe Moses or Isaiah, or had come back from the dead, bringing a new covenant from the Lord, or ushering in a new era of peace and prosperity after 400 years of silence. And so many people did refer to Jesus as a prophet, as a teacher, as a rabbi. And he did preach the kingdom of God was at hand and taught with authority. But Jesus was not just another prophet. So as we look at these great men of old, was Jesus really any of them? No, he realized even though he preached like John, he demanded righteousness, he called for repentance, he performed miracles like Elijah, he was human and emotional like Jeremiah, he was respected as a prophet, but he was not these men. These qualities alone do not command worship of a person and are insufficient to provide salvation from sin. So we can conclude that although the disciples had reported accurately what they had heard, the people that were polled at that time, 2,000 years ago, didn't really know who Jesus was. Now, if you ask this question today, who do men say that Jesus is? Well, you're going to get a wide spectrum of answers. Even from the point where some people believe that he didn't exist at all. To those who think that Jesus is a great teacher, the founder of the Christian religion. Of course, some are just merely innocent misconceptions. When I was young, growing up, we weren't raised in a Christian home. And I'd look at the moon, and I thought that's where Jesus was born. I mean, I thought I could look up there and see, well, that looks like Mary holding Jesus right there. And that's, when I heard that Jesus actually came to earth, I was really amazed. So we all have misconceptions. Sometimes these turn into deliberate deceptions and lies about the person of Christ. Some folks see him as unloving, intolerant. Several years ago, before she passed away, before she died, I was listening to an interview with Madeline Murray O'Hare on a talk show, and the interviewer asked her about Jesus, and after she finally conceded that he was a real person, she said, but he was a mean person. Others just see him as the opposite, a Jesus who only loves everybody, and he doesn't want to invade your personal space, an easy-to-please Jesus. These folks just try to defend a sinful lifestyle by quoting this Jesus. They only say, well, now, you know, don't confront me about my sin, because Jesus says, and they always have three or four verses that they think that that's the only verses they quote from Jesus, is what? Judge not, lest you be judged. You know, that's what they say. And then they say, love one another and do good unto others. And this is what Jesus said. They forget everything else he said, but this is the Jesus they want. And some only want a human Jesus. Young and vulnerable and aimless, certainly not divine. Hollywood and popular writers love this false view of Jesus. They assume that he's giving in to human desires. They put out the hypothesis that he had a relationship with Mary Magdalene and fathered children, or that he himself was the the offspring of an illegitimate relationship with Mary and a Roman soldier. These things have been written about. Some people only want to embrace the miracle working Jesus. Let's just get what he, let's try to get what we can from him. He's a dispenser of health and prosperity and riches. And of course, many of the TV evangelists extract this aspect of Jesus and profit from it. People want to see a spectacular Jesus, to witness his miracles and to get something from him, but they don't want any of the demands that he makes on them. A lot of distorted ideas, but these are not Jesus. This is not the Son of Man that we see in the Scriptures. And so, after Jesus listens, and I imagine the disciples maybe walking along the way, sometimes maybe I kind of picture them in an open area sitting, and they're relaxing, maybe getting just resting a little bit, having a meal, and then Jesus asked those questions. And I imagine some of the disciples that usually don't get in on the conversation maybe answering these first question. This first question, you know. This is an easy question. So Peter doesn't say anything and nobody says anything. And maybe these disciples that you hear about, like Simon the Canaanite or James the Less or some of these ones that usually don't speak up, but maybe they answer this first question. And they're looking around. Yeah, that was good. Yeah, that, you answered good. That was, yeah. And they're congratulating each other. And then there's silence. And then Jesus asks this second question in verse 15. But whom say ye that I am? Maybe a little bit of silence. But Peter speaks up. He says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Mark records Peter's answer as simply, thou art the Christ. Luke records Peter's response as the Christ of God. But the point is, there's a different answer here. The word Christ and God suddenly appear in this answer. He's the Messiah. Jesus is the anointed one. Sent from God, prophet, priest, and king, sent from heaven for the purpose of dying for sinful man. The divine Savior who paid for our sins with his own blood on the cross. Paul says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Jesus is the Christ, the Savior, the Son of the living God. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. It's amazing how we went to the mall not just a couple of nights ago, and there's, you know, Santa Claus is already there, and all these things that we already see. And I guess it appears in my message here, and we'll start hearing this verse from Luke chapter 2, when the angel comes and tells the shepherds, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a what? A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This is the good news. This is the gospel. We say, what difference does it make? Prophet, Christ, God, whatever. It's just a matter of semantics. Well, really, not really. Turn quickly to John chapter 4. Let's turn to this very quickly. Incredible story of a testimony of a lady, this woman at the well. Of course, you remember the story. Jesus is there with the disciples. They've gone into the town to buy food. Jesus is there alone with a woman. He asks for water. She says, well, we don't have any dealings with, the Samaritans don't have any dealings with the Jews. And he says, well, I've got some living water for you. And he says, what, go call your husband. And she says, well, I don't have a husband. She said, well, you've had five husbands, and the one you're living with now is not your husband. And then she says, what? Sir, I perceive that thou art a, what does he say, prophet. Okay. Well, she's still in her sin, even though her acknowledgement of him being a prophet is not enough to cleanse her from her sin. So the conversation continues, and they talk about worship, and they talk about worshiping God in the Spirit and in truth. And in verse 25, she says, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he come, and when he is come, he will tell us all things. And then Jesus says, to paraphrase, you're talking to him. I that speak unto thee am he. What happens? Wow. Well, she leaves her water pot. She runs back into the city, and I believe at that point, she believes she gets saved right then. Not because he's a prophet, but because he's Christ. He's Christ the Savior. And she runs out back into the village. She comes back, verse 29, "Come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Look at, turn to verse 42 there. You might have to turn the page. John 4, 42. 41, it says, "And many more believe because of his own word." Verse 42. "And they said unto the woman," "Now we believe, not because of thine own saying, thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and we know that this indeed, what? The Christ, the Savior of the world." What a difference. What a difference Peter's statement was. We preach Christ and him crucified. Not only crucified, but he's alive. He's the living God, the Son of the living God. God in the flesh, the only begotten of the Father, 100% man, 100% eternal God. When Thomas comes finally on that Sunday night and sees the risen Christ himself, he puts his fingers into the wounds of Jesus' hands, and Jesus says, "Put your hand into my side," but he falls on his face and he says, "My Lord and my God." Amen. Not just a prophet, not just a teacher, not just a good man. The rich young ruler coming up to Christ saying, "Good master." Jesus says, "Why do you call me good? There's none good except one, that's God." Jesus is implying, "I am God." He's not just, don't just call him good, call him God. Jesus is the Christ, the crucified Savior, the living God. Of course, later at Pentecost, Peter confronts the Jews at that time. He says, reminds them that God hath made this same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. What a different answer we have. Well, we know Peter got it right because of Jesus' response. Look at, turn back to our passage there in Matthew very quickly. Back in Matthew 16. Jesus says in verse 17, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah." So we know that Peter got it right. He confirms Peter's answer with a blessing, and then ever since then, everyone who has responded in the same way is also blessed. Notice that Jesus accepts all the divinity and the glory implied in that answer. He doesn't correct Peter. He doesn't have, "Peter, let's don't get carried away now. I'm just..." No, he's not. He is God. He's Christ. Listen, don't ever, never let anyone tell you that Jesus didn't claim to be God. Many times in the New Testament, throughout the Gospels, and of course by this response here. Secondly, we know that his answer is correct because it comes from God. "For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." It's not from other men. It's not from our insides. It's not from schooling. It's not from our teaching or our upbringing. It comes from above. It comes from God. 1 Corinthians 12:3, Paul says, "And that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost." Listen, all the right answers come from above. All the answers about Christ, all the answers about life, all the answers about our salvation come from here. Jesus fulfilled all the prophecies concerning him. When Peter saw him, he knew, this is the Christ. Tim LaHaye, in a book called Jesus, Why the World is Still Fascinated by Him, cites 456 messianic prophecies in the Old Testament. Some of those verbally overlap a little bit, a little repetition, but he says over 100 distinct prophecies that describe the detail of the coming Messiah's initial appearance on earth. Jesus Christ, of course, fulfilled them all. He's the Christ, the crucified Savior, the living God. That's what this mission's emphasis is all about. We are commanded to go tell everyone, just like the Samaritan woman. Is not this the Christ? We point to him. He's the only Savior. Just after we heard that Allison had cancer, we, of course, came here immediately and left our house there in Cambodia, Phnom Penh. Food was still in the cabinets. Isaac and I had to leave very quickly, but back in September, I made a trip back to Cambodia to close out our home and move everything out, and the Lord was so good to us, able to get back there, and other missionary families had moved a lot of stuff out of the house already and boxed things up, and I met with the landlord, and he was very sad for us. He understood the situation, and he told me to tell Allison that he was thinking about her. These are Buddhist people. And as I began to mention, I said, you know, God has been so good to us because our friends have come and we've been able to pack everything up, and I've been able to come back and do this very quickly within just a week. And you've been good landlords to us, and God's goodness to us. We have many churches that pray for us and help us. And he said this. He said, you know, I think God is good to you because you've been so good to other people. And he knew we were missionaries. But I said, you know, it's really not that, because I'm not good. And you might be better than me. His name is Borin. And I said, Borin, and he could speak very good English. And I would speak to him in English a little bit, and then I would speak, for the sake of his family, I would speak in Khmer a little bit back and forth. And I began to tell him about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's only one way. There's only one Savior. It's not our goodness. Of course, being a Buddhist, he thought maybe if you do good things for people, then it'll come back on you.
Karma.
Right, exactly. Karma. But I said, you know, it doesn't work that way. We have a Savior. His name is Jesus. And I began to quote John 3:16 and Khmer, that from that verse. And then whatever I said in English, he would translate to his family. He was telling his own family the gospel. This is what it's all about. If Jesus is not the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, there is no need for us to go back to Cambodia. It's useless for this church to continue this missions emphasis month if he's not the Christ. It would be vain for us to even be meeting today. But today I have a question for you. Your answer will not only reveal your attitude toward Jesus, but will determine your eternal destiny. Who do you say that Jesus is?
Amen.
No one can answer for you. If we, like just the rest of the world, say he's just a man, just a prophet, then we have no hope. John 8:23, Jesus tells the Jews that did not believe who he was, that rejected him. He says, you are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. In stark contrast, Jesus is merciful. He's forgiving. He's a loving God. He's a crucified, risen Christ who offers salvation. Listen, don't die in your sins. If you're here without Christ, trust him today. Confess him as your God and your Savior. And until you admit that you're a sinner and you confess him as your Savior, crucified, buried, and risen again, you really can't know him at all. He's the only way to heaven. But if you answer like Peter, you'll be blessed like Peter. In order to be saved, you have to confess the same thing that he is, that he said. God and Christ, Savior and Sovereign, the Lord of God and the Lamb of God. For there is one mediator between God and man, God and men, the man, Jesus Christ. It's not by our goodness, it's not by joining a church, not by being baptized. It's only when we hear the word of God and God calls us to himself. John 6:44. No man can come unto me, Jesus said, except that the Father which hath sent me draw him. Listen, is he drawing you today? Is he calling you? Trust Jesus today and let him forgive all of your sin. You don't need to bear that load of guilt anymore. Christian, if you're here today and you have an obligation, we have something to do this month. You have some work to do. Many people still don't know who he is. You don't have to go far. You don't have to go to Cambodia to see people that don't know who Jesus is. Tell others around you. Ask God this morning what he wants you to do this month and this week to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that Jesus is the Christ. What a hope we have. Lord, maybe there's some here that have never trusted you. Maybe they just don't know who you are. They've never heard your sacrificial death for us. They've never heard of your shedding your blood, Lord, to forgive sins. Everyone that has the Son has life, but he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Lord, we ask that you would work in the hearts of people, and maybe Christians here today, Lord, help them to be surrendered to you. What can they do for you? Help us to be able to be busy to tell others about the Christ. We ask in your name.